This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
An honor to welcome back to this program Brian Wheeler.
Good to be here.
Of Coy. Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.com, with the deluxe new offices on the downtown mall.
And the updated iPhone app.
You got a new iPhone app?
We updated our iPhone app.
Get out.
I shouldn't say we, because I didn't have anything to do with it.
But we, your team,
right,
updated it. Yeah. So how does it work?
It takes all our great news and calendar events and just puts them right on your phone.
So you automatically get the stuff.
Easy to navigate the stuff, yeah.
Very cool. So it's not a tweet thing. It's not a Twitter thing. It's an app. You actually download the app.
You can download. If you search for Charlottesville in the Apple iTunes store or the App Store on the phone, you'll find it.
There you go. Very cool. So how are you doing?
So Willow Tree Consulting gets the
Willow Tree Kuda. Consulting. They did your app.
I think they might have changed their name a little bit, but that was their old name.
There you go. So they did your app, and now you're good to go.
Yes.
You're all apped out.
So
you're off the hook, as the kids say.
We're on to bigger and better things. Last night, it was a meeting extravaganza, Coy. I thought the water meetings would go quickly, and they didn't. So I started my day at 2 o'clock in a solid waste meeting, then a water meeting, then I'm writing stories, for the paper.
Yeah.
And then 6 o'clock, I'm in a planning commission meeting talking about Albemarle Place.
That's all day yesterday? In one day?
All in one day.
Man.
And it wasn't because I was trying to do it all. It was the rest of our staff were covering other meetings in the city. So it was just meeting extravaganza.
Well, the most important question is, what did you eat and when?
I didn't eat till I got home, and I had leftover lasagna at about 9:30.
You know what? If you're going to have leftovers, that's like one of the best leftovers you could have. Because you just put it in the microwave, and the cheese melts. Oh, lasagna is actually really good as a leftover.
I agree.
And you can even eat it cold, but it's not as good. Heat it up a little bit. Oh, man. So Jean hooked you up with some lasagna. Did she have some like French bread to go along with it?
There was some bread, yes.
Oh, yeah, you got to have bread with that. Perfect. Well, now I feel like you were okay then.
Thank you. It was touch and go until I got there, though.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, if you're like me, your blood sugar plummets and it
was bad.
Me home.
And you're on deadline and you can't think straight. Hopefully my story's got the story straight.
There you go. So you started off at a
solid waste meeting.
Peter Van der Linde finally got the contract that was, for many of us.
That took place at another meeting.
Oh, okay.
The city doing
the city meeting. That was a no-brainer.
This was the city and county working together on things like recycling, the Ivy landfill, remediation of that, the Ivy transfer facility. So we have this Ravana Solid Waste Authority that's the city and county working together on mostly recycling and trash transfer.
Right.
So anyway.
So that facility on McIntyre Road, are they closing that, or is Pete just going to put in some big orange dumpsters in there?
I don't think Pete's putting dumpsters in yet. I've not heard that. But what they are talking about doing is really cutting back the number of days it's available. They had a real budget challenge because they've got fewer big commercial customers now coming in particular to Ivy because they're all going to Vanderlinder, right?
Yeah.
So that's taking the revenues down. They had to cut their budget by about 47.5%, Coy.
Yeah.
So they passed a $2 million budget. The thing the Sierra Club was upset about yesterday was they will now only recycle things like batteries, paint, compact fluorescent bulbs, fluorescent tubes, things that you could drop off right now at the convenience center anytime you want. They will now only take those one day a year next year at those household hazardous waste collection days.
Well, does Pete take that stuff regularly?
I don't know what
Pete
does with those things.
I don't know.
But
it's a lot easier to recycle now. I mean, if you have a hauler that takes stuff to Pete like I do, because I have time and they go there, then you don't need to go to the McIntyre facility anymore.
What are you going to do with that fluorescent light bulb that has mercury in it that you should recycle?
I've never bought one. I'm not a fan of them. Because they got mercury in it.
Right.
So and it's a poison, and you can't throw them away anyway when they break.
The Sierra Club's concern is people will just start throwing them away.
Of course they do.
And let's say...
And they end up in the landfill, and then they poison.
Or,
I just buy old-fashioned light bulbs, right?
Or, I mean, I'm purely guessing here, they end up on a conveyor belt at Vanderlinde, right?
Yeah.
And somebody's sifting through the trash, recycling stuff, right? And then there's mercury all over the place.
Yeah, and it's a poison.
So anyway.
It's nasty stuff.
That was the
concern
of the Sierra Club. But the Solid Waste Board did not adjust their budget. Tom Frederick, the executive director, said they'd need another $80,000 to restore that collection activity.
Interesting.
Anyway.
So then you go from there to water.
Then water and some of the same.
And no food in between. You just get a little bit hungrier.
No, they had water at the water meeting, which was good.
But no treats or snacks?
There were no treats.
You need to take some balance bars with you when you go to these meetings.
And I must say, Chris Callahan was with me for most of the day from WINA. So he was in there for these tough meetings, too. But at the water
Callahan.
Meeting.
Callahan. I need a 20 on Callahan.
There you go. Now we know where he was.
Now we know. The big news, I learned some interesting tidbits about dredging, Coy, that had not been apparent to me before. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So the dredging guy was
prepared.
Asked, okay, when you pull the dredge stuff out of the South Fork Ravana Reservoir, if we decide to do that, you need to put it somewhere, right? Disposal site. So they went all around the reservoir looking for disposal sites. So he said, you know, if I had to pick a perfect disposal site, this is what it would look like. It would be flat. Well, that's a problem already, right? We don't have many flat spots.
Well, this is Albemarle County.
He needed 100.
It's the Piedmont, for God's sakes.
Right. So he needed 100 acres of flat land, he said. 100 acres flat land. And then you would build a berm around it, 15 to 16 feet high.
Yeah.
And then it would be filled up to a height of about 11 feet with the watery slurry coming out of the bottom of the reservoir. And then it would be allowed to dewater. And then you'd have
the water would go down into the ground, into the water table. Somewhere.
Or they'd suck it off the top, the sort of effluent off the top.
Okay.
But anyway, I mean, so that just sort of hit me as, wow, that's a big piece of land with a whole lot of.
But it depends on how much you dredge. I mean, that's assuming you're dredging
that's
like crazy. You could just dredge a little bit at a time and put it someplace much smaller.
The proposal, HDR Engineering, which was hired by the city and county and Ravana Water and Sewer, the proposal they put in front of the community, Coy, was a multi-phase project, a one-time dredging project. That was one thing we learned yesterday. No maintenance dredging. So this is just a one-time dredge of South Fork, cost $34 to $40 million, and takes 7 years. That was something we didn't know before. 7 years start to finish. There's some ramp-up time and ramp-down time on that. Another interesting thing.
That's assuming you want to do it all as quickly as possible. You start and you don't stop, and you just knock it out.
Right.
That's the fastest plan. Because Richard Lloyd was in here last week saying, you know, that we've never seen a proposal to do it, say, over 20 years, where, you know, you don't have to be in a rush to do it. You can. It's a lot cheaper, and you don't have to do it as fast.
That's
and
true.
You don't need as big as a big an area to store your stuff.
If you did eventually do all that dredging, because you needed it for the water supply, right? If you're trying to get capacity back for the water supply, he pointed out that after you did that, future dredging would be more expensive because the disposal sites would be gone at that point. You would have used the optimal disposal sites around Panorama Farms and the Llewellyn property along the reservoir. And the other interesting thing, Coy, was we learned the quarry, which is near the South Fork Dam and was touted as a potential disposal site, even if it had not recently been sold to a Roanoke company to run it as a quarry, even had that not happened, we learned yesterday that it's not a suitable site.
Oh, no kidding.
For disposing dredge material.
Why?
He said there's not enough material around there to build a berm. Apparently, it would need a berm as well, and there's not enough material to do one.
Huh.
These berms are interesting.
I wonder if the quarry process will create material that could be used as a berm, you know?
Yeah.
Digging and blowing stuff up.
The berms, when you build them to hold this dredge material, have to be registered with the state and certified as dams.
Dams, yeah, yeah.
Which is interesting. Because initially they're holding a lot of water, right? So anyway.
And the state monitors that stuff pretty carefully.
So I talked to Mayor Norris afterwards and said, you know, what's your assessment of all this? And I got some great quotes from him. He said he can finally see the light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to the water supply plan.
Well, there you go.
Now, we don't know if that's a train coming right at him or the solution at the end of the tunnel.
So let's turn our attention to Albemarle Place. Somebody asked me, I was driving by that the other day, and somebody said, they're going to build something over there? I said, oh my gosh, yeah, it's going to be huge one day.
You know, we learned about Albemarle Place yesterday, Coy. They had a little rezoning. Their new owners, Edens and Avant, is the new ownership, and they're trying to get that.
They're not local, are they?
They're not local.
Is that like D.C. or?
You know, I can't remember where the main office is. It has offices in multiple places. I want to say Columbia, South Carolina. I might be wrong about that. But the 7-Eleven at the corner of Hydraulic and 29 sold.
Wait, say that one more time.
It was sold for $690,000.
The 7-Eleven?
To Edens and Avant. They need that property.
They finally got it.
They finally got it. It was sold back in October, according to the county tax records, for about $700,000.
Wow. It's
0.34 acres. So some of those people who were worried about grade-separated interchanges on 29 impacting their businesses.
They don't need to worry anymore.
Just keep in mind that—
There's quite a precedent right there.
You can sell,
you can
your,
sell your third
for
of an
value.
Acre for nearly $1 million. And they're going to have to do some remediation there, though, because there's gas tanks in the ground there.
Well,
so I imagine when they develop Armour Place, they're going to have to pull that up. But
the reason they will have to pull up some of that site is there will be a second turn lane. So imagine you're coming down 29 South, and you know how that right lane is turn only onto hydraulic?
Yeah.
There will be two turn only onto hydraulics.
Well, you need...
There will be a second lane added in front of all of Albemarle Place, in front of Sperry Marine, in front of the old Comdial, in fact, going up past Greenbrier Drive to Westfield Road, almost to Westfield Road. So Westfield Road is where, what's that restaurant? And the Pet Supplies Plus is up there. You know where I'm
like
talking
about? Like where Guadalajara is, behind the Shell?
Past that.
That's it, Greenbrier.
Yeah. So the Westfield Road is the next road before you get to the light at Toys R Us. So Westfield Road is sort of in between. And
where the Waffle House is? Or before that? I know what you're talking about. Back there where they used to have that big buffet place right there.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's still closed down.
Still closed down.
The Chinese place
was
there for a while.
So imagine there, a tapered turn lane sort of starts so that you could turn right onto Greenbrier
Drive. Where the Nature Conservancy is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a new lane will start there and go all the way to hydraulic. And
holy cow.
And then eventually go all the way to the bypass.
Well, that's what you need.
Yeah.
Down to Best Buy.
Right. So they'll be adding that lane. So that was some more news we got yesterday.
Well, that's very, very needed.
Now, you may not like this. There will be another traffic light in phase two of Albemarle Place eventually added out on Route 29.
Right by the post office, right?
Right by the post office.
Right in front. Well, yeah, we knew about that. Yeah. So you could go straight from the post office and cut over to Albemarle Place.
Yep.
Another traffic light.
Another
traffic
light.
So it'll go Greenbrier, post office, giant shopping center.
You got it.
Hydraulic.
Yep.
Light. And God willing, they'll be timed.
So your next question is probably...
It won't be like being in Waynesboro where you go from one green light to another red light right away.
Tom Loach said to the developer, Tom Gallagher, he said, my wife's going to ask me when I get home, when is this project going to get out of the ground? And so the developer, you know, was put on the spot there to talk about schedule, which was kind of interesting. And the developer was very careful. He said, you know, it's very lease driven. He said he didn't have anything he could announce at this point. He said he was getting a lot more traction and that in the very near future, he expected to make some announcements about tenants coming into Albemarle Place. And keep in mind, this is a U-shaped development, wraps all the way around Sperry Marine, and is the size, footprint-wise, of two downtown malls.
Oh, my gosh. Is it one of those faux downtown malls where you like park and then you walk around and the stores are like on a little fake street? With cafes?
Well, it'll be a real street. And
you know what I'm talking about? Like up in Gainesville, where you take 29 North to 66? There's one of those there.
That's sort of like a very small... imagine that times, you know, 10, I think. I mean, that little stretch at Gainesville has some nice restaurants and a very small little walkable restaurant stretch.
Yeah.
This is so much bigger.
It's going to be huge.
But a similar idea.
And more big boxes and lots of little retails and
hotels,
movie theaters, hotels,
and apartments.
Holy cow.
You got it. So he said they hope to get started later this year. They need 8 months to do site preparation work there and then 6 to 12 months of what he called vertical construction.
Oh my gosh.
Now, my personal opinion, that's probably a little optimistic that they would start later this year.
You know, it's going to be amazing though. Because when this is done, because it'll get done at some point, there is really going to be 29 before Albemarle Place and after Albemarle Place. Because that is going to completely change the character of 29 in that part of Albemarle County.
It's a big deal. And the
reason
it's
going to be huge. I mean, there are going to be high rises there.
The reason they had to come in front of the Planning Commission last night was they needed to get a rezoning. Of their rezoning, they had to go back to the 2003 rezoning and update it.
Yeah,
and because remember, this is one of the first big developments like this approved in Albemarle County.
But the reason it went on, not just the recession, but they said they didn't have enough sewer capacity.
And they still don't.
And they still don't
until the Meadow Creek Sewer Interceptor is upgraded, and that work is in progress. Won't be done until the end of this year.
Are they proffering any of that, or is the taxpayer paying for all that?
That was not proffered by the developer. Now, they've got to do their own infrastructure on site. But we learned that lesson as a community, Coy. So in developments that came afterwards, Hallamead Town Center, Biscuit Run, when that was going to be a development, those things had to negotiate with the Albemarle County Service Authority and the RWSA, things that they would do to help improve.
Instead of the taxpayer footing the bill to prepare the sewer line so a developer could...
No, another thing Albemarle Place did not have to do that new developments have to is the cash proffers per unit of housing. Yeah. They have much lower cash proffer expectations than what a new development would have today.
Yeah, but Albemarle County is still really low compared to the rest, most of the rest of the state where there's a hot development.
It does. It varies a lot. Another thing they had to get permission for was signs. They want to. They weren't happy with the neighborhood model restrictions on signs. That's the type of zoning in the county for places like Old Trail out in Crozet.
Yeah.
They wanted highway commercial scale signs.
I bet they did.
And that was one of the things they had to ask for permission for. And signs have been talked about a lot as a very controversial topic. The Planning Commission said, okay, as long as... you know, the Board of Supervisors signed off on that.
I heard that even the Red Lobster going up in on at Rio near on the, near Fashion Square Mall has a different sign because they didn't like the red of the Red Lobster.
Oh.
How about that?
Well, there you go.
That's what I heard. Just a rumor. So you never know.
They're probably different shades of lobster.
It probably is. Brian Wheeler, the Executive Director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeaVilleTomorrow.com. Thank you, Brian,
so much.
Thank
you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.